Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program. We hope that everything is well with you today and that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God on this first day of the week. God has been so good to us, blessed us in so many ways, and we need Him in our lives. It'd be a great day for you to get out and worship God, and we invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31. We'll be meeting at 9 o'clock this morning for a Bible study and a worship assembly. Why don't you come out and be with us as we honor the God of heaven and glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. But if you can't join us, you can check out our services online. We live stream our services. You can look at that on Facebook and go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or check out our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming to view the live streaming of our services. But come out and be with us if you can. You know, we're living in a time when we're so blessed to have free and ample access to God's holy book, the Bible. And yet, one statistic indicates that 64% of Americans fail to read the Bible on any kind of consistent basis because, well, they say they're just too busy. And there is a lot to distract us in the world in which we live. A lot of entertainment. We have work responsibilities, family responsibilities, all sorts of material concerns and pleasures that we're involved in. And yet, are those things more important than God's Word? I want us to think about how God has blessed us with His Word and the ability to know what He says, wants to say to us and has said to us through reading our Bibles. And yet, we're not really taking advantage of that. Approximately 100 million Bibles are printed worldwide every year, and that makes it hands down the best-selling book of all time. 87% of all American households own at least one edition of the Bible, and the Gideon's organization distributes over 70 million Bibles every year. So the Bible is readily available. In times past, the words of God were not as available as they are today. Back in the Middle Ages, it took about 3 years for a qualified scribe to hand write just one copy of the scriptures. Just think about that, just, you know, taking 3 years to write out the Bible by hand. And so only in those days, only the rich and powerful had a copy of the text of scripture. And most people in those days, of course, were uneducated. They were illiterate, unable to read even in their own language, much less the Latin text that was most common in that day. When we come to the 1450s, a man by the name of Johannes Gutenberg, who was a printer in Germany, invented what historians have called the most important invention of the last millennium. The first printing press with movable type took on the Bible as its first project. The Gutenberg Bible opened the door for placing God's Word into the hands of the common man. However, it still took, at the first of the printing of the Bible, it still took 3 years just to make 180 copies. So it was a long time before the common man had access to Scripture. The Gutenberg Bible cost the equivalent of an average worker's 3-year salary. But as time progressed, men such as John Wycliffe and William Tyndale sacrificed greatly in their efforts to have the Bible printed and translated into the common language of man and made available so everybody could have a copy. And today we have this free and ample access to the Word of God that we've already talked about. In fact, not only in English, but the Bible has been translated into over 3,500 languages around the world. It's the most accessible book that there is by far among humankind today. But as I said, the statistic is that 64% of Americans fail to read the Bible regularly because they say they're too busy. Less than 50% of Americans can even name the first book of the Bible, according to a Gallup poll. Do you know what the first book of the Bible is? I hope you do. It's Genesis, of course. But 66% of Americans don't know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount, again, according to a Gallup survey. Sermon on the Mount was preached by Jesus Christ. It's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But a lot of people in our land, although they have access to the Bible, don't know that. Apparently haven't read the Sermon on the Mount. Probably, well, most certainly the greatest sermon ever preached by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One Barna survey a few years back reported that 12% of those who were questioned thought that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Of course, Noah built an ark as was instructed by God, but Joan of Arc has no place in the Bible. She comes, of course, centuries after the Bible was completed. The point is that we have access to the Bible, but we really don't know what it says. And so it is an unread bestseller, the bestseller of all time, in fact. And yet many people can't tell you much about it, don't know what it says, even fundamentally can't tell you what the Bible story is about. At the Eastside Church of Christ, we're very interested in helping everyone understand what the Bible says. To that end, we offer a number of Bible correspondence courses. These are available on our website. Again, you can go to eastside-church.org, and there'll be a study at home banner, and you can click on that to sign up for a Bible correspondence course, where you can take a correspondence course either through regular mail or through email, or take it digitally online, that will help you focus on Bible reading and also Bible comprehension. So we have one course that's entitled Jesus the Way. We have another on the Gospel of Mark, another course on the Book of Acts. And these courses are designed to take you through reading Scripture, understanding what the Scripture means, and then, of course, being able to apply it to your life. We have another course that's soon to come online. It's an overview of the entire Bible that encourages you to get an understanding of what all of the Bible is about, takes you through a number of lessons, helping you understand really an overview of the entirety of Scripture. We encourage you to take advantage of, you know, these opportunities and many others that could be afforded to you. At Eastside, we teach Bible in our classes every Sunday, every Wednesday. Our sermons are from the Bible. We want you to become familiar with the Bible because it is God's Word, and we ought not to ignore God's Word. He has done so very much to bring His Word to humankind in a form that is, as we've said, really easily accessible and something that most people could read, understand, and appreciate. We want to know what God has to say to us. Again, you have the Bible translated into your own language. We should delight in that. We should think it, and it is truly a wonderful thing that you can read the very words of God in Scripture. We'll talk about that some more in just a minute. But notice Psalm 119 and verse 16 in the Bible. The text says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And then in verse 103 of Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So the word of God ought to be delightful to us. Just think about this. What the scriptures claim to be and prove to be, really, is God speaking to his creation, to humankind. The Bible tells the story of our creation, of course, at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, that God created man in his own image, took from the dust of the ground, formed the man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God is our creator. He is all-powerful, all-wise. He is eternal. He is responsible for every blessing that we enjoy. And he has spoken to us. He has spoken to us in his word, the book that we call the Bible. The Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So here's something that's come from the mouth of God. The word inspiration there really means to breathe out. The Scriptures have been breathed out by God. They come from His mouth. And what a privilege and delight it ought to be to us to read his words, to know what it is that he wants us to know, to have him communicate with us in this very wonderful way, in our own language, as he's arranged it through his providence and grace. So our attitude toward the Bible, toward the Word of God, ought to be one of delight, that we have the opportunity to read the Word of God. And we've been blessed, most of us, certainly listening to this program in our land, have been blessed with an education which allows us, which enables us to read the Bible. Of course, there are people in the world today. There's illiteracy as a problem in some parts of the world today, but typically not among people in America. We have an education system that at least teaches us to read. And many of you listening to this program have gone through 12 or 13 years of schooling, and some many more years of schooling. We certainly have an education that enables us to read and evaluate and understand what it is that God is saying to us in His Word. So do we take that education that God has blessed us with and the Word that He's given us and meld them together and study it with our intellect and with our mind and with our hearts? The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." The psalmist had some access to the word of God, and he just loved to think about it. He loved to consider the word of God, and that should certainly be our attitude as well if we understand what it is and who we are and how much we need to have the information that God is sharing with us in his word. Paul will tell Timothy, as he writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Timothy, as a gospel preacher, needed to know how to use God's word. We do as well. We need to understand what's in God's word, the different parts of it, and how it all fits together. We're going to have to study to do that. We need to read it. We need to investigate it, right? We have been blessed with the opportunity and the ability to do that. You had never been persecuted, probably, for owning a Bible. Again, here's a great blessing that we have in our land, that we have free access to a Bible. And just because you have one, it's not likely to be taken from you, not yet anyway in our land. And so here you have this opportunity. There have been people of God who died because of the words of God, because they were trying to share the words of God. That's not happening in our land, at least not today. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, John there sees a vision. He saw souls of those who'd been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So yes, people have died for the word of God. That's talked about in Scripture and in the history of the world since Scripture was completed in the first century. Of course, a lot of people have died for the Word of God. But we're not persecuted for owning a Bible. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, is something that we should feel privileged to get to know and to share with others. Again, we've said a lot of people have sacrificed their freedom and indeed their lives in order to translate God's word into the common vernacular. We should stand in awe of what God has enabled to come to us in his scriptures. Again, back in Psalm 119, the psalmist said in verse 61, "Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word." Are we in awe of what the scriptures contain, which is, in fact, the word of God, as we've already indicated? Apostles and prophets were imprisoned, whipped, violently executed, so you and I could have God's holy word. It's difficult to even picture ourselves as being worthy of what both God and his servants, his apostles and prophets, have gone through and done so that we could have his word with us even today. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle Paul, writing while he's in prison because of the word, and he's writing inspired scripture even as we see in Ephesians chapter 4, but he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." We were called as Christians to a high and holy calling, a calling that we've received through the Word of God, the Word contained even in Scripture. We're so privileged, right? We ought to be worthy, walk worthy of it, to understand what a special privilege and opportunity we have for God's Word to come to us, for us to get to know it, for us to learn it, apply it, and live lives that please Him. You know, this program is called The Way That Leads to Life. And the way that leads to life is walking by God's Word. God's Word is life, as we'll see in just a moment. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins. He came to bring us God's Word. In fact, the Bible says He is God's Word. He's God's communication to us. And the way God communicated to us through Jesus is not only by His life, the things that He did, also the things that He said. And then Jesus Himself told His apostles and prophets to speak His words to mankind and to write them down. And that's what we have, of course, in the New Testament. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Apostle John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So God had this ability to communicate. It's called He is called the Word in John 1 and verse 1. And we learn that the Word in John 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word there is Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among man. Here's God's communication to us. He communicates to us through Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the Hebrew writer talks about how God spoke in different ways to people in ancient times. But in these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world." Jesus is God's spokesman. Jesus brought communication from God. The apostles understood this. The apostles received that communication, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they were able to record the things that the Lord wanted them to record about what He said while He was on earth and what He wants men to know even today. On one occasion in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 6, Jesus had been talking about Himself as the bread of life, the bread of life that comes down from heaven that sustains eternal life for mankind. And some of the people that heard Jesus talk didn't understand or agree with what He was saying, and they turned away. And Jesus asked His disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" And Peter answers Him in John 6 and verse 68 and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus brings us those words, the words of eternal life. And those are words then that we have recorded for us in Scripture. The apostles and prophets were inspired to write the words of the story of redemption, what we need to do, what we need to understand about what God has done for us in Scripture. The Apostle Paul writes about that also in the book of Ephesians. He says in chapter 3 of Ephesians, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel." Paul is talking here about something that God hadn't revealed to mankind previously. Paul calls it a mystery. It's the mystery of how God was going to save all men, including the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. We call that the gospel, His message of salvation, the good news. Paul says, I've written to you about that. And when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That's Ephesians 3 and verse 4 again. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Why is it then important that you and I read our Bibles? What's Paul saying about the importance of reading an epistle like the epistle to the Ephesians? He's saying, well, this contains the gospel. This is God's saving plan for all of humankind. That's why you need to read it. that was given to Paul, Paul says, by revelation. This isn't stuff that's made up by men. These are not just men's words. As we've already said from 2 Timothy chapter 3, scriptures come out of the mouth of God. What Paul was writing was given to him by God through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was given to him, as he says, by revelation. That's the claim of Scripture. And of course, the Bible offers a lot of proof that those claims are accurate and correct. We're not going to examine that proof today, but we're just making the point that this is what the Scriptures claim for themselves. And if someone says, well, the Bible may be a good book, but it's not really from God, well, then the Bible wouldn't be a good book, because the Bible claims to be from God. And if it isn't, then, you know, it's a bunch of lies. It's based on falsehood. But the Bible certainly claims to be the Word of God. And the words that the apostles used, the apostles and prophets used to communicate God's will to us, are in fact inspired of God. We have then this life-giving gospel that is what brings to us eternal life. We need to be interested in it. We need to read it so that we can understand what God has done and, again, what He expects of us. We need to share it with others. Jesus told His apostles in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This good news that Paul says was recorded in Scripture, that was shown to him by revelation. You know, in times past, in ancient times before the New Testament, many people could not read the Bible to their children. Many people didn't have access to a copy of even the Old Testament scriptures in those days. But there were scrolls of Scripture that were read to groups of people from time to time. As you read through the Bible, you realize that that's going on. But parents in ancient times were to instruct their children in what the Scriptures said. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. So while they didn't always have a Bible to read per se, or scrolls to read per se, when those words were read to them, they were to keep them in their heart and then diligently teach them to their children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What Moses is telling the Israelites to do is, when these things are read to you, you put them in your heart, you write them down, you remember what is said, you share these things with your children, because these things are God's word. That's what the word that God was sharing with the Israelites back in the time of Moses. When we come again to the New Testament, the apostles and prophets of Jesus are sharing with us the good news of the gospel of Christ and God's plan for saving not just Israelites, but Gentiles too, all men. And that's what the New Testament is all about. We need to be sharing this information, obviously, with our children as well. Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We have a responsibility, parents, to teach our children what the Scriptures say. Are we doing that? Are you doing that at home? What about that Bible that you have? Are you reading it to your children? Do they know what's in it? It's God's Word. God expects parents to make sure that their children know what the message is, know what His Word says, know what He's communicated to us. There's a fascinating example of this that kind of comes together in the book of 2 Timothy. Paul appreciated Timothy so much. Timothy was a fellow worker of his, a young gospel preacher that Paul had taken under his wing, and they worked together for many years. And as he's writing 2 Timothy, Paul is approaching the end of his life, and Timothy has been his faithful helper. He writes this letter to him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, he tells Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is challenging Timothy to stick with what he learned even as a child. the truth of the scriptures that were taught to him, as you can read earlier in the book of 2 Timothy, by his mother and his grandmother. Timothy had learned the truth of God's word in the scriptures. And yet today, as we've already noted, the scriptures are the unread bestseller. We have access to what God's word says. We have access to his word in scripture, and yet we don't read it. We don't share it with our children. We don't teach it to our children. That's really just a tragedy, isn't it? That here God's word is available to us. And again, we're trying our very best here at Eastside to share God's word with everybody, to get people familiar with the scriptures. Our Bible classes are in-depth into what the scriptures teach all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We are dedicated to sharing God's word, teaching it to one another, sharing it in our community. We'd love for you to come and be with us and enjoy these Bible classes with us. Again, we meet at 9 o'clock this morning at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'll be studying this morning in the wilderness wanderings in the book of Exodus and Leviticus. We'd love for you to join us in that good study. But the point is, let's get familiar with God's word. God deserves that. His word is worthy of it. He has done so much to provide us with information that he wants us to know. Let's not take the word of God and twist it and change it to our liking. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, "I marvel that you're so soon turning away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach to you any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." If we're going to not accept what God has to say, if we're going to read it but then twist it to our liking, that's of course also totally unacceptable. We must read God's word, study it, and accept it for what it is. So when we're holding a Bible, especially the New Testament of Jesus Christ, we have within our grasp the words of eternal life. In Psalm 119, verse 82, the psalmist said about the word of God, "My eyes fail from searching your word." In the New Testament, we can read in Acts chapter 17 about people who were hearing God's word preached, and they wanted to examine it by the scriptures that they had at that time. And the text says about them, these people in Berea, that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So we verify truth by scripture. We don't take scripture and accommodate it to our own so-called truth. What we do is we let scripture determine what the truth is. We verify whether things are so or not by what the scripture says. This is another really important reason why we need to be reading it and studying it. Well, I hope that something that we've said this morning has encouraged you. Maybe to pick up your Bible if you've laid it down and not looked at it for a while. Maybe to take a correspondence course on our website or come visit us and study with us. Again, we're open to all of that. We just want to get people into God's word. It's so important because God's word does direct us in the way that leads to life. That's the way all of us want to go. We all want to be, surely, with God, enjoying eternal life after this life is over. And God's word shows us the way to go. Let's study it. Let's get to know it. Let's walk the way that leads to life.